Since opening in 1999, Mass Mocha has become one of the world's premier centers for making and showing the best art of our time. It ranks among the most visited institutions in the United States dedicated to new art. More than 80 major new works of art and more than 50 performances have been created through fabrication and rehearsal residencies in North Adams.
In addition to the challenging and inspiring visual art, Mass Mocha brings valuable performing arts to the region, including film, theater, dance, and music, and just about any genre you can imagine. I have to tell you all, I love this place, and I love the people who are running it.
Here to tell us more about what is on their arts horizon are Mass Mocha's director, Joe Thompson, and director of communications, Jody Joseph. A great pleasure to have you both here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
We love when you guys are on. It's always so much fun for you to tell us what's happening.
And we've done On the Road there a couple of times.
Many times.
So it's memorable radio moments. Right.
That's right. Yeah. I think Sarah would probably be better at this, but I think we have done Mass Mocha three or four, and we've been to the Clark. This is our second time. So, yeah, we love coming to visit you all.
So we're winning.
Yeah, well,
yes, you are. That's right.
It's very nice. Although they did
You
had the new thing going there for a while, so that helped us. And then also, they were closed, down for a while, so that. See what I mean?
Yeah, it's really great when the Clark closes. It's.
You know what, Joe? In all seriousness, you are the magic man. You've done so much for North Adams, and you've done so much for thinking this impossible dream through. Do you ever wake up and pinch yourself and say, how did this all happen?
Well, for one thing, if you keep doing something for a long time and you're stubborn enough, things will get done. 27 years now, so it
seems
hardly been overnight success. It is not. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a couple things we want to get to here, but one is that opening very soon this weekend is Bibliotechophilia, and this is going to be on view beginning on January 24th. It's an amazing exhibition, but I want to focus on it for a moment. But what I want to talk about is that this really shows the collaboration between you, the Clark, the Williams College Museum of Art, of how you all get together and do something and bring something together.
It's part of a great series. I think this is the 13th exhibition that we've done with graduate students in the Williams College Clark Art graduate program in the history of art. A lot of people don't realize that Williams College has two and only two graduate programs. One's in developmental economics and the other is in art history. We pick, or I think more likely they pick us, very interesting young master's candidates. And we make this very easy, transparent arrangement, which is the students pitch a show. We give it a quick thumbs up or thumbs down. If it's a green light, the Clark and their very generous support provides a little bit of money to the student to get in the truck, go to New York, bring in the art. And the idea is that the student does everything. I was just dropped through the gallery, and Ali Fortas, our current curator and graduate student, was there putting labels on the wall. And the idea is that a student gets to go through the whole cycle of making exhibitions. So not just drawing lines on a plan, but actually building walls. Not just talking about what the light should be, but actually figuring out the difference between floodlight bulbs and spotlights, and actually the physical and mechanical work of making exhibitions, but also writing, of course, and scholarship and curatorial work. So by the time the students make this show, they've gone through the entire cycle. They know what it means to come up with a mailing list. They know what it means to try to get the press interested in your work. They do their own PR work largely. It's a great experience. And we've gotten, by the way, a dozen really great shows. It's a terrific program.
Do you ever see yourself in them?
Only to this extent is that I came up through, I was a preparator at the Williams College Museum of Art. That's the person who does the matting and framing and mounts the art on the pedestals and actually, physically hangs the work. I'm a deep believer that, at the end of the day, art are real things. They're objects, they're stuff. And to they're not ideas. They're physical objects that you have to put out in light and put up labels. And so I, to the extent that I love this program because it brings scholars in contact with actual material objects, it puts them into contact with the guys who do the painting or the women who are mounting the labels. They realize that they're part of a larger ecosystem in the museum, and that if they make friends in the museum, things go better. And if they understand how to frame things, they'll actually know that. I mean, so they really learn the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of making exhibitions. And I think that's valuable.
And then they move on to have illustrious careers around the country and the world. Lisa Doran, who was in your last segment, went through this program. So she was a student at Williams College. She was part of the Clark grad program and now is a curator at WICMA. So,
yeah, I think they're
there are
25 or so students that are out in the world with good jobs that are alumni of this program. This show is a particularly interesting one. It's about books. People love books. We have a nostalgia for books. This is an exhibition about our sometimes very personal and odd relationship to books and sort of the meaning of the library of the future. Are they going to be around? What will they be like? Are they going to be places that we congregate really, or are they going to be all digital? This exhibition looks at those questions.
So why is that art?
Oh, because it's ultimately physical objects that are made to communicate an idea. Not using language, not using spoken word, not using written material. They're things, and the artists imbue them with meaning. You walk in and look at them, and hopefully understand something that you might not understand, or think about, in this case, books in a way that you might never, ever think about them otherwise.
So, Joe, is there anything in this world that isn't art?
Oh, there's a lot of things that are not art. I mean, art has something that has an intention that goes beyond mere utility. So, I don't know. This pen is not art, unless an artist comes along and tells us that it is.
If you hang it on the wall.
Then it changes everything.
Tell us before, because we want to go to, we want to find out some of the performing arts events that are coming into Massmoke over the next several weeks, but tell us what will be filling your galleries over the weeks and months to come.
Well, besides Bibliothecophilia, the next show is a whopping, beautiful, big, rollicking show by Jim Shaw, California artist who uses cardboard cutout figures, comic strip motifs, but often pointing out the absurdities of life. Dan Quayle will be making an appearance in this show. Barbara Bush will be there. Superman has a big role, often in kind of caricature-like forms. Superman, in this case, is a kind of fallen hero. He's a normal person who tries to go out and save the life, but things don't always go well, and he ends up having a hard time flying, for example. It's a funny show.
Kryptonite.
Kryptonite will get you every time.
But thank God Dan Quayle is there to save
well,
the day.
Well, Dan Quayle, yes.
With a bag of potatoes.
All is good. How do you spell that? Yeah. All right. So, and that is in March.
That opens in March. Then we have this summer a lot of photography at Massmoca. Clifford Ross, who's a great narrative photographer, he developed a super high-resolution camera, worked with NASA to do it. And he takes photographs of hurricane waves. Beautiful, gets out there in crashing waves and wetsuits and gets close-ups of these ferocious-looking waves off Long Island. He has another series in which he's photographed a mountain outside of Aspen. The resolution, the detail is really just gorgeous. So the kind of photographs that you can get closer and you see the trees and you get closer, you can see the individual leaves, you get closer and you see the serrated edges on the edge of the leaves. Wonderfully composed, beautiful photography. At the other end of the spectrum of photography, Liz Deschenes is putting together both a show of her work and a show of younger artists, which is much more abstract. Liz doesn't use a camera. She uses everything related to photography except a camera. So developing techniques, chemicals, papers. She makes photograms, as she calls them.
I don't get it.
Photographs. Oh, you can take. A photographic paper, for example, cut it into shapes, dip it into different chemicals, expose it to light, and you come up with all kinds of shades of gray. She then cuts those out and makes kind of concrete photography. So very abstract, physical records of surfaces and textures, the opposite in some ways of Clifford Ross's, which are beautiful images of the world around us.
Well, okay, I have to. I'm going to take the bait on that one. Yeah. So, the of the actual objects that come out, are they a reflection of something? Are they an image, a replication of something, or are they the art themselves? That is the creation through those materials.
She constructs her own images. In this case, they're often abstract images. So she'll take different kinds of photographic paper, expose them to light without the help of a camera and a lens, and then she develops those and then assembles them in kind of concrete photograms, as she calls
but
them.
But it doesn't start with a particular
image. It does not start with
the
image. It does not.
Excellent. I think I get it. Jody Joseph, let's go over to you and find out what's happening in the performing arts side of things, Mass MoCA.
Let me tell you what's happening right now at Mass MoCA. Helado Negro is a group of musicians. We can't even count them yet. They're still flying in. They're here for a week to work on a project called Island Universe Story. It will see its premiere, its world premiere, with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra in a couple months. But they're working on it here in North Adams. It's bilingual. It's hip hop. It's samples. It's electronic music. It's awesome. It will rock your mind if you get to join us this weekend on Saturday night. Our friend Michael Jorgensen from Wilco is part of the troupe. So it's a little pregame for your Solid Sound festival plans this summer that hopefully you're busy making. but the mastermind behind it is Roberto Lang, and he's just sort of like a mad scientist of music. So we're really thrilled that he's chosen Mass MoCA to come and work on his project.
It's just so great what you guys do for North Adams. I mean, it's astounding how much, you know, people come in, like that group you're just talking about. They've got to buy, they got to walk around. You know, North Adams has had a very tough time. But there will always be somebody to point a finger and say, you know, you're not doing enough. But in fact, think about what that place would be without you. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Well, you can never do enough. And, you know, those of us who do public programming and bring artists and programs to the world, there's an infinite appetite for more. People always expect more, and it's not a you know, there's finger pointing and you just keep chipping away at it,
sure,
know,
but
day
always
by
a,
day program
always
by
a,
program.
There are always a couple of yahoos who don't like you know, who don't like anything and are always willing to climb on somebody else's shoulders, you know, to make themselves more important.
Allow me to be specific for a moment. But so there was an article in the newspaper over the weekend in which it raises questions about well, basically a community role of a museum. What's the role of a museum in a community? And basically, they look at you as an institution and say that your role is somewhat divisive. And my question following Alan is, I mean, obviously you don't see it that way. And I guess, or I'm assuming you don't see it that way. You weren't really quoted in the article much, so I don't know how you see it.
You know, I'm sympathetic to people who always want more. That's part of human nature. However, I feel like our job, the thing we have to get right, is to bring great programs, great artists, great exhibitions, great performances to North Adams, and hope that we do a good job getting people to come enjoy them. Good programs attract a lot of people, and people are coming. When we when we opened, we would have 80, 90, 100,000 a year. Last year we topped 150,000. We've had nice steady growth. So you know, 150,000 people are alighting in that parking lot on Marshall Street in North Adams. That's the first thing we have to do, and we got to get that right. And because people who come, they go out to eat, they spend the night, they shop, they add on a visit to the Clark, or visitors who come to the Clark or Williams College go to North Adams. And the longer that we can keep them in the area, the better the community will be.
So let me give you an example. Right outside your doors is a, and I think you rent to this woman, there's a wonderful antique shop.
Oh, yes.
And every time Roselle and I go to Mass Boca, we come in and say, let's go in and see what's there. I've now bought one guitar there. I've bought a trumpet there just because, you know, it happens to be there as I'm walking out of the clock. I 150,000 people. Boy, a lot of people must be buying things.
People are calm. They spend money. You know, you can always, I can tell this story a million different ways, but the downtown storefront occupancy rate is about three times higher today than it was in the late 80s and early 90s.
Exactly.
North Adams unemployment used to be seven times the state average. Mm. It's now about double. Okay, let's just look at those two statistics. So instead of one out of four storefronts, there are now three out of storefronts that are empty. That's a 300% improvement. On one hand, that's progress, but I'm sympathetic to the fact that people, those of us who live here, know that of the three out of the four that are there, probably one of them is struggling. There's a lot of turnover that happens. It's not
everywhere.
Everywhere. It's not easy. Likewise, you know, reducing unemployment from seven times to two times, that's great progress. On the other hand, having an unemployment rate twice the state average, there's a lot of work to do.
But can I ask a question? And if you wish to allow it just to remain rhetorical, that is fine. I understand that. But why is that your problem? I mean, I understand globally why it is some of a concern, but why would that be? Why would somebody look to you and say, "All right, you are responsible for fixing that"?
Well, for one thing, we're part of the community and part of the promise of Mass Mocha. I'll take that. I'll actually take that on. Part of the promise of Mass Mocha was that by using art essentially as a catalyst for economic redevelopment. That's part of the. And by the way, we took state money to do that. We took public funds to do that. I think when you take public funds and you talk about arts as an economic catalyst, you take on an obligation to do the very best that you can to leverage those things. So I think the criticism is not unfair. I think that people do forget where you could have gone, where you've gone. Progress is incremental. It's been a 20-year project. Things are a lot better than they were. They can still be better, and we're going to work on it. I think that one of the things that we need to do better is keep people in town longer and keep people in the Berkshires longer. The Clark's expansion here, this beautiful renovation they've done, have turned the Clark from a 1 to 2 hour visit to it's easy to spend 3 hours here or 4 hours if you walk the grounds. Mass Mocha's expansion and our recently announced Phase 3 expansion, which will add another 100,000 square feet of gallery space, will keep people here longer. You add those two things together, it gets very hard to make a day trip to Williamstown and North Adams. And people, I think more and more people will begin overnighting and staying, and we'll see dividends from that. But this is a decades-long game. It's not something that happens overnight.
I just want you to know that I disagree with you.
Okay.
I truly believe that there is a whole class of cheap shot artists out there who will feather their own nests by standing on the shoulders of people who are real doers like you. And I think you're magnificent, and I really think you're very charitable in your remarks.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Alan. You were asking Lisa what she loses sleep over at night as I was driving in. And I must say, I have tossed and turned a little bit about the question because you wonder if people are paying attention.
Well, paying attention or the inevitable, I own an art gallery and I'm going to just try to do whatever I can to be cheap towards a magnificent man who's done so much.
Oh, that thank you.
Well, let's end there say there's a lot going on at Mass Mocha, and you have a wonderful you have a lot going on now. You have a lot coming up. Of course, during the summer, there'll be tons to do, and I know you all will be over and tell us more, and maybe we'll even come visit you this summer.
Lots of great music coming up. Check out our program on massmocha.org.
massmocha.org to find out more information about all of the great things happening, not the least of which is Bibliotecophilia. which is opening this weekend. And then, of course, the performing arts, massmocha.org. Joe Thompson, Jody Joseph, thank you so much for being with us. It's a great pleasure, as always, to have you before these microphones.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Clark in Williamstown on WAMC.